Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's Word to which we draw our attention are selected verses from Matthew's Gospel, also part of our Passion reading for this evening. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this just man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Assigning blame can be a little bit tricky depending on the situation. Let's say that a drunk driver turns right in front of an oncoming car and is hit. Who's responsible for the accident? Well, it would seem pretty clear that the drunk driver is the one responsible. But what if the driver of the oncoming car were speeding? Or what if weather conditions were a factor? What if the driver of the oncoming car were also drunk? Well, then it might be kind of hard to figure out exactly who was responsible for that accident, especially if no one's willing to take responsibility. In these words of our Passion reading for this evening, responsibility is kind of tossed around like a hot potato. Some people were willing to admit responsibility. Others were doing everything that they could to try to avoid it. The question at hand, who is responsible for Jesus' death? At the beginning of this section, Judas was definitely willing to admit that he was, in part at least, responsible for Jesus' death. "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood," he pleaded to the chief priests and the elders. Why the remorse? Well, Matthew says that when Judas saw that Jesus was condemned, that's what caused him to have a change of heart. But didn't he know that that would be the outcome of his betrayal? Here he was, a member of the closest-knit group to Jesus. Jesus' apostles had been following him for years. Didn't he know that the enemies of Jesus, especially the leaders of the Jews, wanted to do everything they could to see Jesus die? Judas knew the reality of his betrayal and what that would mean, but maybe that reality didn't sink in until he actually saw what was taking place. When he saw that Jesus was taken away by his captors, that he was beaten and mocked and spat upon and then put on trial. And then finally, when he was condemned, it really sunk in with Judas. The 30 pieces of silver that were in his pocket burned like a branding iron on his conscience. He was filled with remorse. He tried to give the money back to no avail. And unfortunately for Judas, his acceptance of responsibility for Jesus' death ended in despair, ultimate despair. Judas saw no hope for himself. He didn't realize that the very blood that he was helping to shed was the very blood that could take his sin of betrayal away. So he took his own life because he didn't turn back to the one that he had betrayed. He didn't go and ask Jesus for forgiveness. So yes, Judas was responsible, at least in part, for Jesus' death. What about Pilate? In this reading, Pilate is doing everything he can to avoid responsibility for Jesus' death. He tries to get the Jewish leaders to deal with Jesus and take care of the matter according to their own laws. He tries to get Jesus to admit to some kind of wrongdoing so that he would have a reason to render a verdict. He even sends Jesus over to Herod to see him, to see if Herod can take care of the mess. He tries to placate the Jewish leaders by saying that he would punish Jesus and then set him free. He tries to convince the crowd that Jesus would be the one, or could be the one, that they would choose to be set free for the Passover. All these attempts to exonerate himself, all these attempts to try to ensure that the responsibility for Jesus' death didn't fall on him, all these attempts failed. And so in one last desperate attempt, with more than a little dramatic flair, Pilate washes his hands in front of the crowd and says, "I am innocent of this just man's blood." Now, did that simple act do anything other than try to soothe Pilate's conscience? Not really. And deep down, Pilate knew that it didn't do anything. Who was to blame? He could try to shift the responsibility for Jesus' condemnation to the Jews, to the crowds before him, but ultimately, who had the authority? Pilate's the only one that had the authority to be able to sentence someone to die. His responsibility for Jesus' death couldn't be washed away with just a little water. Now, contrast Pilate's attempts at avoiding blame, at avoiding responsibility, with that of the crowd pleading for Jesus' death. "His blood be on us and on our children," they cried. Their thirst for Jesus' blood had become so overpowering that in their frenzied state, they were willing to do whatever it would take to see Jesus dead. Every argument that Pilate had made with them to get them to say, "Yes, set Jesus free," had failed. For every logical reason that Pilate gave why Jesus should be free, the Jews had what they thought were logical reasons as to why he shouldn't. It seems that they were willing to say whatever was necessary to get what they wanted. They were even willing to curse themselves and the following generations in order to see Jesus dead. So who's responsible for Jesus' death? Judas? Yes. Pilate? Yes. The crowds? Yes. What about us? Are we responsible for Jesus' death? Here's where we may want to do a little bit of comparing. What about Judas? Would I ever betray Jesus like Judas did? No way would I ever do something that dastardly. But how many times have you betrayed Jesus? No, not in the same way that Judas did. That was a one-time occurrence, a one-time act of treachery. But what about that time that you tried to keep secret the fact that you were a Christian? You were in a certain group of people and you didn't want it known that you were a Christian because you would be seen as a killjoy or holier than thou? What about that time that you sinned? In fact, every time that you sin, isn't that a betrayal of Jesus? Because you're turning your back on him, you're ignoring him and his will. What about Pilate? Certainly you're not as bad as Pilate, right? After all, he's the one that pronounced sentence on Jesus, even after he knew that Jesus was innocent. And that mockery of washing his hands before the crowd, I've never stooped that low. I've never been in a very difficult situation and then tried to make excuses as to why I wasn't to blame. I've never been caught red-handed at something and then pointed a finger and said, "Oh, no, it's her fault." No, I've never done that. And that unruly, nearly crazed crowd, what about them? There's no way that I'm as guilty as they are for Jesus' death. Look how unreasonable they were. I'm ignoring the facts that were very clear to them, getting their way simply because of their spite and their hatred, being concerned only with satisfying their lust for blood, being so calloused as to cry out, "His blood be on us and on our children." Yes, we have to admit that we are just as guilty. We're just as responsible for Jesus' death as Judas, as Pilate, as that crowd. Every sin that we commit is one of the reasons why Jesus had to die. "His blood be on us and on our children." That's the same cry that we need to make, but not a cry of defiance, but a cry, a plea for mercy. "His blood," the blood of Jesus, cleanses us from all sin, John says in his first letter. We need to be washed of our sins, and the only thing that can wash those sins away is the blood of our Savior. From the time that our sins were first washed away in our baptisms, repeatedly we go back again and again and have our sins washed away, taken completely away, being forgiven completely, being renewed and strengthened in our trust in our Savior. It is kind of an odd picture, though, isn't it, to think of blood as being something that makes us clean? If we were to get blood on our shirt, we may say, well, it's stained, it's never going to come out. But praise be to Jesus for shedding his blood for us, because it is that very blood that does cleanse us from our sins. Even though we are responsible for Jesus' death, he had to die for our sins. In his mercy, God forgives our sins because of Jesus' death. Praise him for his infinite mercy. Amen.